In their 41-page review of how the nation's 16 intelligence agencies have adjusted since December 2004, lawmakers found a mixed story. The report found that some good needed steps have been taken while other reforms have lagged. Some believe that the new structure is too cumbersome and bureaucratic. Others believe that the Director of National Intelligence is not showing the leadership and degree of change for which they hoped. Responding, Negroponte's office said it has acted with urgency and focus in retooling the intelligence community that was widely criticized in report after report for failures leading up to the September 11th attacks. Jake.
A decorated sergeant and Arabic language specialist was dismissed from the U.S. Army under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, according to The Guardian. Blue Kopas says he never told his superiors he was gay and his accuser was never identified. Kopas told the Associated Press he is gay, but said he was outed by a stream of anonymous emails to his superiors in the 82nd Airborne Division at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. An eight-month Army investigation culminated in Kopas' honorable discharge less than 4 years after he enlisted. He plans to appeal to the Army Board for correction of military records. More than 11,000 service members have been dismissed under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. That's less than 0.5% of more than 2 million soldiers, sailors, and Marines dismissed for all reasons since 1993, according to the General Accountability Office. But the GAO also noted that nearly 800 dismissed gay or lesbian service members had critical abilities, including 300 with important language skills. 55 were proficient in Arabic, including Kopas, a graduate of the Defense Language Institute in California. Discharging and replacing them has cost the Pentagon nearly $369 million. This from The Guardian.
The 11th Annual Grassroots Radio Conference begins today in Madison, Wisconsin, where community radio station WORT is located. Representatives from grassroots, volunteer-powered community radio stations across the U.S. are gathered there for workshops, discussions, and partying. KBOO volunteer Eduardo de Landeros Tierra is at the conference. He spoke with Nathan Moore of WORT, who's one of the organizers of the conference. Moore explained the purpose and history of the conference.
Grassroots radio stations are really community radio stations that are committed to volunteer-powered, volunteer-driven, democratically-run radio stations that are for the community and really exist for the purpose of building community through media.
Okay, now, what's happened here in Madison, Wisconsin?
There's a lot going on this weekend in Madison for the Grassroots Radio Conference. The main thrust of the whole thing, of course, is the workshops and the networking and the chance to get together, talk about common problems, deal with common issues, sort of figure out where we're going. And the great thing about the Grassroots Radio Conference is that we really take the tack that we're part of a movement, part of a grassroots radio movement, and that's part of a movement for democratic social change and social justice in general. And so we're kind of figuring out how we all fit into that through a bunch of workshops, through networking, through informal caucusing, things like that, and through some partying, too. You know, we like to have some good times.
Okay, what's the connection between WORT then and the GRC this year?
Well, we're hosting it this year. The Grassroots Radio Coalition is celebrating its 11th year this year. This is the 11th conference. WORT was among the founding stations of the GRC. It kind of grew out of the mid-1990s when some of the community radio groups and some of the talk in community radio circles had kind of moved in a more corporate direction, a less grassroots-leaning direction. And so the GRC really was formed with the conscious idea that we're part of a movement and that we're going to, you know, really keep the focus on the volunteer-powered stations as best we can. WORT hosted GRC5 back in 2000. This year we're hosting it again.
Thank you very much, Nathan. And this is Eduardo de Landeros Tierra for KBOO Radio.
An explosion at a chemical plant in eastern China killed at least 12 people today and prompted the evacuation of 7,000 others. The 9 a.m. explosion at the Fudu chemical plant, about 190 miles north of Shanghai, shattered the facility. By mid-afternoon, 12 bodies had been recovered. About a dozen more were injured. The cause of the 9 a.m. blast is still under investigation, though no dangerous levels of pollution have been detected. Authorities evacuated people from about a mile around the blast site as a precaution. Fudu is a major producer of fluorochemicals for the toxic industry. No details were given on the cause of the accident or the specific chemicals involved. Earlier newspaper reports of the company have been cited for violating pollution standards in the past, but there was no mention of safety problems. Reached by phone, Fudu General Manager Zhu Chunlin said it was not convenient for him to comment on the cause of the accident or condition of those injured.
Military commanders in Iraq are developing a plan to move as many as 5,000 U.S. troops with armored vehicles and tanks into Baghdad in an effort to quell escalating violence there. As part of the plan, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld yesterday extended the tours of some 3,500 members of the 172nd Striker Brigade combat team. The unit, which has been serving in northern Iraq, was scheduled to be leaving now, but instead, most of its 3,900 troops will serve for up to 4 more months. It was unclear whether the unit would go to Baghdad. According to military sources, under the plan to bolster security in Baghdad, U.S. troops would be teamed with Iraqi police and army units. They claim this will make virtually every operation in the city a joint effort. At the same time, the Pentagon signaled plans to maintain or possibly increase the current levels of about 130,000 troops in Iraq. Officials announced that roughly 21,000 Army soldiers and Marines have been told they're scheduled to go to Iraq during the current 2006-2008 rotation. Combined with two previous announcements of about 113,000 U.S. service members scheduled for the rotation period, this could bring the number of U.S. troops in Iraq to 134,000. An estimated 2,570 American soldiers have died in Iraq since March of 2003.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair will seek a UN Security Council resolution aimed at resolving the latest fighting in the Middle East. A spokesman says Blair will attempt to increase the urgency of diplomacy to end the violence between Israel and Hezbollah when he meets with President Bush today. The spokesman briefed reporters on Blair's plane, which is en route to Washington. He says Blair hopes the resolution can be in place by early next week. Blair is under growing pressure at home for Britain to distance itself from the U.S. and call for an immediate end to violence between Israel and Hezbollah. Many in Britain believe he should align himself with the United Nations and European Union and call for an immediate end to the fighting in Lebanon and urge Bush to add his support to such a move.
Israeli troops withdrew from northern Gaza early this morning after a bloody two-day sweep that killed 29 Palestinians, deadliest violence since Israel's incursion began more than a month ago. Residents streamed outside before dawn to inspect the damage, and rescue workers found the body of a militant killed in the fighting. Militants removed mines and explosives they had planted to try to stop the Israelis. A rocket attack, meanwhile, wounded two Israeli children hit by shrapnel in the southern Israeli town of Zikim. The militant group Islamic Jihad said it launched the rocket. Israel's army and air force have killed more than 100 Palestinians since it started attacking the Gaza Strip, claiming it was to stop militants from firing rockets at southern Israel. 5 Palestinians were killed yesterday, including a 75-year-old woman and a 12-year-old boy who was killed by Israeli gunfire as he stood on the roof of his house at the edge of the Jabalia camp.
Israeli police used stun grenades to disperse hundreds of Arab youths who were trying to gain access to the Al-Aqsa Mosque for Friday prayers. No injuries were reported. Al-Aqsa is built atop a compound that is a sacred site for both Muslims and Jews. When tensions are running high, Israeli authorities often limit entrance to the compound to Muslims who are 45 or older. Because of the ban, hundreds of Muslim worshippers kneeled in prayer on sidewalks outside the mosque complex, while Israeli police and foot and mounted horses looked on. On Thursday, police prevented what they said was a planned Palestinian mass wedding at the Al-Aqsa Mosque and did not allow anyone under 45 to enter. Normally, Israeli authorities limit entrance only to men, but on Thursday, the ban encompassed women as well. The mosque is built on the spot where Islam's prophet Muhammad is said to have ascended to heaven. The area also contains the remains of the biblical Jewish temple and is sacred to Jews who call it the Temple Mount. Chris?
In southern Lebanon, aid workers are finding it impossible to get medical supplies and food safely to isolated villages due to the Israeli bombardment. This according to Reuters. A humanitarian corridor has allowed the United Nations to truck food and basic medical supplies to the southern port of Tyre, but getting safe passage beyond that is another matter. The Lebanese authorities say up to 600 civilians have been killed in a 17-day Israeli onslaught, which began after Lebanese Hezbollah guerrillas killed 8 Israeli soldiers and seized 2 in a cross-border raid on July 12th. Dozens of air raids struck villages in the hills behind Tyre on Friday, and hundreds of artillery rounds crashed across the border from Israel. Witnesses said that 8 people were killed. World Food Program spokesman in Beirut, Robin Lodge, said the UN Food Aid Organization has been unable to move supplies truck to Tyre beyond to the villages. He said the best they could do at the moment was inform the warring parties of where and when they wanted to deliver aid. The UN estimates there are up to 800,000 people in Lebanon displaced by the fighting and bombing. This according to Reuters.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said today she will return to the Middle East to work with others on trying to bring an end to the Israeli Hezbollah fighting. Rice didn't provide a precise time for her return to the Middle East, where diplomats are working to reach a ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon's Hezbollah militia. She had been expected to return to the region this weekend. The United States, adopting a diplomatic stance that has not been embraced by allies, has been insisting that any ceasefire to the violence over the last 3 weeks must come with conditions to address long-standing regional disputes. Rice claims that will ensure a durable solution. Nearly every U.S. ally has called for a quick truce to end the bloodshed and efforts to smooth needed humanitarian supplies to the Lebanese. They believe the difficult work solving of old grievances between Hezbollah and Israel can come later. White House spokesman Tony Snow said the administration would push back against criticism of the United States. Chris?
In Malaysia, hundreds of anti-U.S. protesters broke through a police cordon. They marched in the convention center where Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was meeting with other foreign ministers. Police pushed back most of the demonstrators, but a small group broke through again, including the protest leader. He sat on the ground outside the building and refused to leave. The protesters, mostly from the ruling coalition, raised their fists and chanted slogans against Washington's refusal to condemn Israel's bombardment of Lebanon. Earlier, the protesters burned U.S. flags and an effigy of Rice. They also beat an effigy of President Bush with sticks. Rice is in Malaysia to attend the ASEAN Regional Forum meeting. Jake?
Well, thanks, Chris. Malaysia's former Prime Minister, Mahathir Mohamad, has been attacked with pepper spray at a domestic airport. An unruffled Mahathir says the assault was an attempt to silence his criticism of the government. The 81-year-old politician had just arrived at the airport and was surrounded by cheering supporters when an unidentified assailant fired the pepper spray at him. Mahathir retired in October 2003. He handpicked Prime Minister Abdullah Ahmad Badwadi as his successor, but Mahathir has since emerged as one of Abdullah's biggest critics, accusing the government of mismanaging the country and reversing his old policies. Their dispute primarily involves the cancellation or delay of several infrastructure projects proposed by Mahathir.
A Somali lawmaker was fatally shot outside a mosque today, the latest blow to an administration plagued by Islamic militants taking over much of the country. Abdallah Isaac Diro, Somalia's Minister for Constitutional and Federal Affairs, was shot by an unidentified gunman who then escaped. This according to an Associated Press reporter at the scene. Diro is not among the 18 key ministers who resigned yesterday, saying the government has failed to bring peace to this chaotic African nation. Government officials were not immediately available for comment, and police said they're investigating. The government, which has no power outside its base in Baidoa, 155 miles from the capital, has been unraveling as leading officials fight each other for power. Meanwhile, an Islamic militia has seized control of the capital and much of southern Somalia. We have seen that the government cannot carry out national reconciliation and development. Prime Minister Mohammed Ali Ghedi accused the former cabinet ministers of trying to bring down his government, and he has vowed to defend himself against the no-confidence vote.
A controversial Pentagon plan to build a United States missile defense base in Poland has Polish officials on edge. The Guardian reports that Poland's president has expressed doubt concerning U.S. sovereignty at the only European base for the program. This is mainly due to American officials' insistence that the U.S. operate the base without interference or oversight from the local government. If established, the U.S. could launch missiles from Polish soil without consulting that country's government. The project is likely to be based out of a site in northeastern Poland and will house approximately 10 interceptor ballistic missiles. The United States claims the missiles are needed to protect Europe in the event of a missile attack from the Middle East. American officials have recently concluded a tour of Poland and Czech Republic for viable sites, and an announcement is expected within the next 6 weeks. The budget for the missile project is projected at $56 million for this year alone. In addition, the U.S. is expected to double that figure next year.
In Brazil, a fire raged yesterday through a rainforest along the country's eastern coastline. Firefighters say the fire has burned up to 25,000 acres of trees and is considered to be out of control. The fire in Brazil's Atlantic Forest remained blazing yesterday, while firefighters from the municipality of Magé, 50 miles northeast of Rio de Janeiro, fought the blaze. The forest has been threatened by a month-long dry spell. Environmentalists say the Atlantic Forest, a diverse and fragile ecosystem, is home to hundreds of bird species, many of which are unique to the region. This, according to The Guardian.
Fossils of two new species of plesiosaur were discovered near Coober Pedy in South Australia recently. Fossil evidence suggests Australia was once home to ancient reptiles that swam in huge icy lakes. Plesiosaurs are popular in science fiction and are said to resemble Scotland's mythical Loch Ness monster. The Australian specimens are described in recent editions of the journals Biology Letters and Paleontology. Lake or sea monster sightings are occasionally explained as plesiosaurs, but scientific evidence points to them being extinct. Scientists believe the creatures might have evolved mechanisms to cope with the harsh climate, such as faster metabolic rate. There were carnivores feeding on fish and squid.
The UN Human Rights Committee today told Washington it should immediately shut down all secret detention facilities and give the International Committee of the Red Cross access to anybody held in armed conflict. In findings on U.S. observance of the UN's main political rights convention, the committee said it had credible and uncontested information that the United States had detained people secretly and in secret places for months and years. The committee said it could not accept Washington's argument that the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, which the United States has signed, does not apply to anyone held outside U.S. territory. The covenant spells out basic individual rights, including equality before the law, protection against torture, and inhumane treatment and arbitrary arrest. The U.S. report to the committee submitted in October was 7 years late. The UN body also expressed concern at the past use of interrogation techniques like prolonged stress positions, isolation, hooding, sleep, or food deprivation that may be a form of torture. They welcomed assurances that these were used no more.
And that was the KBOO Morning News for Friday, July 28, 2006. Thanks for listening. This morning's newscast was edited by Becca Bartelson and Chris Andre. Our engineer is Becca Bartelson. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director, welcome back, is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Jake Wallner.
And I'm Chris Andre.
This weekend's weather forecast, today, morning clouds with patchy drizzle becoming partly sunny this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then mostly cloudy, lows 50 to 55. Saturday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then partly sunny, highs around 75. Light wind becoming northwest and 10 miles per hour in the afternoon, lows around 50. Sunday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers. That's a change. High 70s to 75, lows around 50.